Destiny's Child and Bootylicious. I mean, I'm not ready for this jelly. A middle-aged woman hearing that line, it's not funny. Hello and welcome to Live and Local with BB Lynch, Dame BB Lynch, Dame Jelly BB Lynch. We have a brilliant show lined up for you tonight. We have music, we have guests, we have probably award-winning radio till 10 p.m. Should we do it? Pink, Keith Urban and One Too Many. Is Keith Urban Nicole Kidman's husband? Is that the magic duo? Is that them? I come from a family of liars. I could have totally made that up, but I think that's true. One Too Many. I had One Too Many the other night, but should I tell you what I had One Too Many of? Because I think you'll be secretly proud / horrified. A Toblerone cocktail. That's right. Oh, I really need to watch my chocolate intake. Even my booze is chocolatey now. It was delicious. So hello, how are you? What's your news? My excitement today was seeing that the new co-op is opened on Kingsway. I actually gasped. I remember when my life was sex, drugs and rock and roll. Now I'm just excited there's a Vanilla Crown with my name on within handy reach. I open at 7 a.m. That's very good. I don't know what's happened to me. Let me tell you about tonight's show. From 9, we will be enjoying an hour of upload, hearing your great contributions and chatting with one of the creators. And in a few minutes, we'll be speaking with Friendo Show musician James Morris about his new venture. And then Tony Finnamore, founder of Britain's second, the Social Society, will be here to tell us about her Shows on the Road tour. Yeah, tour. It's in a camper van. It's a spoiler. There's a tour in a camper van. I know. It's going to be a great show. So please stay with us. That song is ridiculous. It's so brilliant. Grooves in the Heart, Delight. It's one of those ones you wouldn't say, if someone said to you, what's your favourite dance song? Would you say that? And then on it goes and it's suddenly my favourite dance song. I am really happy to introduce our first guest this evening. He is singer, songwriter, musician and my school friend, James Morris.
Hello.
Hello, James Morris.
Hello. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Hey, James.
Yours.
What's your yours? what's your favourite memory of me at school?
Goodness, favourite memory.
Yeah, of me. Probably, no one else, just me.
Yeah, just of you. I would say it has to be to do with the shows that we were involved in.
Oh, yeah.
I would think.
We were like...
That was a good...
We were like the Emma Thompson and Kenneth Branagh of Heathfield School.
Yes, I think you couldn't have put it better, really. That's why you're in the job you're in, is you can put these things absolutely on the spot, as
on
they
the
were.
Spot. On the spot, I mean, perfect. How have you been?
Been good, thank you very much. Yes, busy creating, as always.
Well,
not a lot's changed since we were at school. I'm still creating and not making any money.
Oh, but money.
Adult life passed me by, I think.
What, in my, yeah. Oh, no, same with me. So I'm viewing a flat tomorrow. Give me your advice. We'll get on to what you're on in a minute. So I'm viewing a flat tomorrow, and it looks really lovely, and it's in a really good location, but it has an open plan. It has a kitchen in the front room, and I'm not sure I can live like that.
Oh, that's weird. People will see you through the windows cooking and stuff.
Well, they won't see me cooking. They'll see me reaching up and getting drinks.
They'll see you unwrapping takeaways.
Would you do that? Kitchen what? In the front room?
I think it all comes down to price and location, doesn't it? And also the walls aren't hollow, so there's no previous occupants hiding in them.
How do I find that out?
You go around tapping.
Oh, well, like 40 Towers.
like Basil Fawlty. You just have to go around tapping.
So
checking.
I spent a happy couple of minutes, more than a couple of minutes, going through James is really super talented and is putting these kind of compilations together of your kind of musical journey, and it's so lovely seeing them.
I know, it was, I thought I'd just do it. I mean, if nothing else, then it's sort of there on record. But I've been surprised. I've sort of tried to remember everything from when I had my first guitar through to this year and writing stuff through the lockdown, and I've been surprised how much I couldn't remember. And other people have commented saying, oh yes, I remember this, did you remember this happened in the band, or things, you know, that I just don't have any recollection of at all. So it's been quite nice as well to find out stuff from other perspectives.
Yeah,
been a pretty pretty fun job, but you know, of an unremarkable musical journey.
That's not true. That's what it's called, but that's not true. You're tonight talking to us about, and this isn't a musical journey, this is a new venture, and it's a book, and it's a children's book.
Yeah, it's children's picture book, rhyming picture book, called Up the Downs. And it was probably knocking around in my head for 10 years. We used to live near Lewis, and we used to walk the kids up the downs, and you know, that thought immediately, how do you go up something that's a down? And it was just a silly idea. And it was sort of set, it was going to be Jimmy and Fairy go up the downs. And I don't know, sort of few months ago, very early in the morning, I woke up and I sort of had the thought, I couldn't go and write this down. And the whole story was sort of there after all these years of just stating away. And it all got written down, and we sort of knocked it into shape. And we thought, this is quite fun. We need some drawings. So we talked to a couple of illustrators, and one of them tried to draw something for us, which is quite nice, but we didn't sort of get anywhere with it. And then I suggested to my lovely other half, my partner Claire, to whether she could have a go at drawing, and she just laughed because she's never done anything like it before. And it, actually, who knew she could do it?
Oh, really?
She did some brilliant illustrations, nailed all the characters. Cause I knew she would, because she just researches these things, and works it out cleverly. And so we ended up with a bunch of good pictures, the story, and we decided to self-publish it ourselves. And we're just waiting for it now to come back from the printers. It's quite exciting.
Oh, that is going to be so exciting. That's the Insta shot, isn't it? Opening up the box with a pile of your, you know, hard copy print books there.
Yeah, no, it's going to be good. We sold most of them, which is even more rewarding. We're quite surprised, the support and lovely comments from people that have seen the pictures, and lots of people have sort of snapped them up. I suppose they make good stocking fillers or Christmas presents.
Yeah, it's such a gorgeous idea. Well, you know what we're going to do now? And now I'm thinking, we're going to do this, but is this a spoiler? But it's not, because this is, because it's going to be an e-book, audio book, and we're going to now play it. But, you know, this is for parents, aunts, uncles, godparents to kind of say, actually, this is to not just to whet their appetite, because we've got loads of story in it, but this is going to make them buy the book for their kiddies. This is the whole point.
With the audio book, you get us doing it, narrating the story, as it were, but you don't get all the lovely pictures. So
exactly.
You have to buy the book to get
exactly.
It. And it's all my childhood TV experiences, really. It's very sort of retro 70s with kind of little musical interludes, you know, think Bod or Trumpton or, you know, all of those 70s children's TV programmes.
Oh, I love this. Let's play it, and then I'm going to come back to you. Stay there, James.
What are those big hills?
Mo stopped to stare.
Those are the downs,
said Mo's friend Claire.
They look very steep,
thought Mo with a frown.
I don't understand. They're more up than down.
What a great puzzle it seemed to the pair. Claire looked at Mo, and Mo looked at Claire.
Shall we turn back then? Shall we just go? The downs are too up to get over,
thought Mo.
Don't worry,
said Claire.
It's only a name. We will climb to the top, just pretend it's a game.
So off they both set to get to the top. Up the downs quickly. Keep going. Don't stop. The hill was so high, the grass was so deep. They huffed and they puffed. It was ever so steep.
Come on, Mo,
said Claire.
It isn't so bad. We're nearing the top and then you'll be glad.
Puffing and panting, Claire turned to Mo.
We've done it. We've made it. Look down below.
What an adventure,
thought Mo, feeling tall. To go up the downs wasn't bad after all. At the top of that hill, they were higher than high, above all the houses, up in the sky. Mo thought it odd to have gone up the downs, as he looked over fields of greens and of browns. But as he looked out at the dazzling view, Mo started to laugh. He suddenly knew. Claire stood for a moment, and then she began to run down the hillside. She ran and she ran. Mo chased behind her as fast as he could. He happily barked. It all felt so good. They got to the bottom and stopped by a cow. Claire said to Mo,
"So do you see now? It's not so confusing even for pups. If you climb up the downs, you can run down the ups."
They headed for home, both happy at heart, knowing ups can be downs. It depends where you start.
That's so cute. It's so cute. And also, James, yeah, a life moral at the end.
And well, they all have this little moralistic tale. I think it's important.
I think it's important.
Yeah, no, it's just a bit of fun, but it's turned out quite fun and quite well, really. And
it's really
having spent 10 years trying to get this one out of my head, of course, naturally now I've written four more in the space of about a month.
Really?
So we're sorted for the next three or four Christmases. We've got a new book for each one. We've just got to draw them. And we've made the audio recordings and things, but we've got to actually set
that's
down
so
and draw
cute. And and are all the books Mo and Claire?
Mo and Claire will be featuring on. They all have this sort of, Mo gets confused, Claire explains it. and we'll hook up with various other exciting adventures in the future.
This is so cute. So how do people... So it's out in November. So you're going to get the physical book this week, next week?
The physical books, we're aiming for the 16th of November. Lots of people have pre-ordered them. There's still some of those left to pre-order off our Facebook page, Up the Downs. And then Amazon will have a special Amazon version because it'll be slightly different shape and layout. And there'll be an audio book and an e-book, all available from about 16th of November.
Oh,
So Up the Downs on Facebook, and you should find us, and there's a shop now button to buy one of our sort of first print books.
Yeah, do it. Are you going to sign copies for people?
If people want it, we'll sign it, but it's a bit nerve-wracking because we don't want to muck it up, you know, big smudge on the inside cover.
Oh, James, it's such a lovely idea. The story is so brilliant. Yeah, I love that you've got another four. That's hilarious. take care. Let us know how the book goes, and I'll see you really soon.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Jason Derulo and Take You Dancing. Let's take a look at the weather. Tonight it's dark. Look, it's dark. That happened about midday, didn't it? Skies will remain clear overnight and light westerly breezes are expected. It will feel a little chilly under clear skies, although high cloud may increase from the west by the end of the night. Minimum temperature 5 degrees Celsius. That's 41 degrees Fahrenheit.
BB Lynch. BBC. Radio Sussex.
The script and break even. Is it bad that I kind of like that it's a heartbreak song with a man singing it? I'm anti-men today. So, hey, I'm BB Lynch, BBC Radio Sussex. Totally just owned the station then. BBC Radio Sussex and BBC Radio, sorry. I hope you are well. In a couple of minutes, our second guest is joining us. It's the fantastic Tony Finnemore from the Social Society. And Tony's going to tell us all about the Social Society and all about her tour in a van, an actual tour in the van. Get in touch. Text me on 81333. Start your message with the word radio. And I want you to tell me, do I go for a flat with a kitchen in the front room? I'm just thinking smells.
Call 0800 232 1045.
BBC Radio Sussex.
Cliff Richard and Falling For You. Is Cliff Richard 80 now? He's 80 now. That is, I like that. I was dancing away. 80, still got the voice. We went to see Dionne Warwick last year. I'm not saying, I'm not sure how old Dionne Warwick is, but oh, man, his voice is still incredible. Hello, my second guest is here. I feel really hyper tonight and I'm not sure what that's about. It might be too much chocolate. My second guest is here. It's Brighton-based founder of the Social Society, Tony Finnamore. Hi, Tony.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Where are you? Paint the scene, please.
I'm sitting at home. I'm cosy. I'm sitting at home, just relaxed, ready to talk to you.
Oh, a little baby sham on the go.
Yeah.
Little Cigarella. First of all, what is the Social Society?
Yeah, so we're sort of a Brighton-based community that Skillshares and supports charities. We also run events to reduce isolation and loneliness and connect people, really.
Oh, I love that. And that was founded way before what's going on now?
Yes, we sort of 2018. Yeah, so a while back.
What made you found it?
What made me found it? I worked in charity for a very long time and just kind of saw the struggles, really, in the sort of sector. Used to run events, saw how many people were sort of lonely and kind of joined the two.
And it's kind of such a simple idea. It's one of those, surely there's a million of these, but there weren't.
Yeah, no, there really weren't. And it was, like I say, it was feedback from the community, really. People said to me, we really want to give back to charity. We really want to do good, but we want to do it in a way that's sort of long term and sustainable rather than like quick in and out painting the community shared style thing. And we want to meet new people, get together and, you know, meet friends. And that's kind of how it came about. And it's been a real success, real journey.
So what kind of stuff would your members do?
In terms of the events?
Yeah.
They vary. So we've had like Lego socials. We've had acoustic. I know, it's very fun. Acoustic music pop-ups on the beach, end of year festivals, so many different things. And then obviously volunteering. They basically Skillshare with charities. So it could be marketing, finance, events, whatever their skill set is.
It's such a brilliant idea. I lived in Manchester for a year and I remember one of the things that a man said to me when I went up there is, in Manchester you kind of don't pay for stuff, you barter. So you would, so I'll design this for you and you do that music for me.
Absolutely.
I love that, yeah. So obviously you're kind of, you're loving the arts and everything you do, you know, there's a huge arts feel to what you're doing and you're
definitely
bringing that into shows on the road. Now, all I know about shows on the road is as you with loads of boxes behind you on Facebook and CEO hits the road to save the arts. What's going on?
Yes. In an attempt to save the arts, hey. So quite literally, it's a very bonkers project, very Challenge Annika-esque. I've packed up, I know, packed, those are the boxes that you see. So I've packed up the flat and I am touring the UK alone. So it's socially distanced in a camper van over the next 6 months. So we're going to aim to showcase over 100 performers and artists, musicians, comedians, whoever apply and pay them for their time to support the arts. 15 cities and support 30 charities along the way with our skill sharing model. So it's not going to be an easy, it's no mean feat. It's going to be interesting.
I mean, I almost went silent then. That's actually amazing. And the artists are performing in your camper van?
If it's small, so if it's solo or sort of a duet, then we'll be able to socially distance and have them perform from the van. So we'll have a bit of a backdrop. If not, we'll have an outdoor stage set up. And there are a couple of points midway. And we start, obviously, in Brighton on the 10th. We have a midway in Birmingham. We end in Belfast in June 2021. So there'll be a few places along the way where we'll pop in some, you know, unique venues.
That's such a great idea. So are you, so you're crowdfunding it, but also I guess you're looking for acts, artists.
Absolutely. So applications open on the 1st of December for people, you know, to sort of apply. And then we travel to them. So we obviously have a geographical route and we'll go wherever it's safe to do so. But yeah, people apply and then we travel to them and they perform. And what we're doing is the crowdfund really that we launched on Wednesday is to raise funds to pay the artists.
And this is because artists are suffering so much because of the pandemic.
Yeah, Absolutely. So artists and charities, really, the two things that we really care about, I guess, with the social society is making sure charities are supported, but also the arts and connecting people. And they've really suffered, both of those industries, over COVID in particular. So we kind of want to help them both if we can.
So if anyone's listening, and what kind of artists are you looking for? What kind of... I can play the triangle. Producer Ollie is quite good on the tissue and comb between us.
Amazing. Apply within. You're there. To be honest, anyone. So we've had interest already from sort of comedians. So it could be an acoustic music, could be spoken word, it could be a dance, youth dance group, theatre, musicals, anything. Anybody that needs support, that is out of work and that wants to, you know, showcase their talent and perform, then, you know, more than welcome to apply.
And supporters can kind of do their bit as well.
Absolutely. So we're going to live stream. I mean, as I say this out loud, it's hilarious. I'm going to video vlog the whole journey. I could barely use iMovie, so we'll see how that goes. But so I'm going to vlog the journey. It's Patreon supporters can sort of tune in and they can follow the bloopers, the highs, the lows, and also we'll live stream the events so they can watch the artist perform as we sort of take that sort of trip, I guess.
This is going to be such a huge... I mean, it's a really lovely idea and it's going to really help people and artists. That's brilliant. But I think it's going to be such a huge adventure for you.
It really is. I'm actually quite excited. It's slightly nervous, but excited as well at the same time.
You should be super excited.
Yeah, I am. I get to meet lots of amazing, you know, talented individuals and, yeah, like I say, help people along the way, which is great.
Have you ever been in a camper van?
No, not to this extent. Not living in one for 6 months, put it that way. It's going to be very interesting next few months.
How can people get involved?
So we launched the crowdfund Wednesday, but if people go to the website, which is the www.socialsociety.org.uk, or any of our social media, Instagram handles or Twitter, they can get involved there.
I'll tell you, I wish you so much luck with this. Sorry, say that again.
I was just going to say, crowdfund launches Wednesday, so they can find it all there.
Yeah, yeah. Just what a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
And I was chatting to musician James Morris at the top of the show, and I brought it up because I've been watching them. He's done these videos of all his kind of musical journey and bands and tracks, like from the minute he picked up a guitar, and it was a real kind of like lovely journey. This is what... I love that you're doing this as well, because this is a real like record of this crazy time you're going to have.
Absolutely. Hopefully my videography and sound skills will get better along the way as well, so it'd be good to look back, eh?
You've got to practice a bit before you go, but it would be great. I wish you the best of this. It sounds brilliant. So that is thesocialsociety.org.uk.
Absolutely, well, that's the one.
Bon voyage.
Thank you very much. Take care.
Bye-bye. Five and keep on moving. I love the idea of what Tony's doing. I think it's such a great idea to support the arts and artists and to give people a space to kind of create again and perform. It must be so frustrating if that's what you do and you haven't been able to do it. Just so stifling. What a brilliant idea, but a camper van for 6 months. An actual camper van for an actual 6 months. But, you know, I think this is the new thing. So... a really lovely friend of mine is doing the same. She didn't want to do the expensive rent thing, so she got herself a camper van and she's having all the adventures. I mean, I think she's in Scotland now, so there's no reception. I'd get her on the phone, but I don't know. But she's having such a laugh. And then another friend of mine has, and she's just started a YouTube channel on this, and I think it's called Van and a Pram. And it's Elisa, and Elisa was a producer at BBC Radio London, and she and her husband and son are just going into a camper van, motorhome, and just touring the UK and just going around and just doing what they're doing and just seeing what happens. I don't know, could you do that? Could you be that spontaneous? I kind of love that. I don't know. Are there cookers? Are there cookers in camper vans? There must be. Is there a? I think it's the toilet situation that's upsetting me most. I don't want to dwell on that because nothing that never needs to be said. But I think camper vans, it's the new thing. It's the new black. We should all get one. Don't get me a camper van. So look, I'm going to see the flat tomorrow. Oh, can I say something? Last week, I asked you all to pray for me. For you know, I saw the dream flat and I loved it and had floorboards and everything. I didn't get it. So you didn't pray hard enough is all I'm saying. So please pray for me not to get a camper van, but to get the flat of my dreams. Here's Katy Perry and Teenage Dream. The fabulous Katy Perry and Teenage Dream. Russell Brand, what were you doing? Now, Lasting Lover, Sigala and James Arthur. Here's Pink and Get the Party Started. Pink and Get This Party Started. Welcome to the second hour of Live and Local with BB Lynch. Thank you for joining us tonight and please get in touch. Text me on 81333. Start your message with the word radio. You know what time it is now? It's upload time. Upload is the show where you are the star. It's where we play what you're making, doing or creating. And over the past year, you've been sending us some stellar stuff, really fantastic material. And each week, we're dipping into our archive to bring you uploads you may have missed the first time around. Seb Masters lives in Haywards Heath, and he uploaded a documentary to us here at Upload earlier this year. He says he made it while studying zoology at Newcastle University, and it covers the form, function and beauty of insect song, in particular crickets. He says he wanted to use audio in a creative way to get the scientific information across in a fun and engaging way. It's called Earth's Entomic Orchestra, and here's part one.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
Sound surrounds us every day, flowing through the air and banging our eardrum. Its presence is so constant, it's hard to imagine a world without it. However, it's easy to forget that the world was once a much calmer, quieter place. Before 1964, the space-age noise of the modular synthesizer just didn't exist. Prior to 1963, no one had heard a Beatles record. And prior to 1949, no one had heard of 45 at all. The first car horn wasn't heard on our roads until 1908. And the first car engine wasn't revved until 1886. But we can go further back still. Hominid speech is thought to date to roughly 1.75 million years ago. Previous to the Jurassic period, there was no birdsong, and before the Triassic period, no earth-trembling roars from the mighty T-Rex. So, if you were to stand on the Earth 250 million years ago, you might hear something like this. What you can hear is a collection of insects. These miniature musicians are considered to be some of the first organisms to use sound as a form of communication. So what species are part of Earth's Entomic Orchestra? This is a cicada, the loudest insect on Earth. The rasping sound is produced by a flexible section of the insect's armour called the timbal. Muscles contract and the timbal buckles inwards, producing two distinct clicks. When the muscle relaxes, the timbal snaps back to its resting position, with a single sharp click. The cicadas repeat this process 300 to 400 times a second to generate this eerie buzz. Their impressive volume is down to air in their abdomen, which amplifies the sound the same way the hull of a guitar amplifies the vibrating strings. These songs can reach over 100 decibels, roughly the same as a working jackhammer or a live rock band. While cicadas might be playing heavy metal, this insect whines a more familiar tune. The buzz of a mosquito is known by all as a sign of imminent irritation. However, to another mosquito, it means that love is literally in the air. By flapping their wings, male mosquitoes serenade surrounding females. An attracted pair will synchronise their wing beats, gradually increasing their speed. The duet crescendos until a harmonic finale when mating ensues. You are now listening to the sound of a tiger moth. Like the mosquito, it uses a high frequency sound. In fact, it is so high, it is not audible to human ears. Here it is, slowed down 100 times. It uses these ultrasonic clicks to jam the echolocation of predator bats. The song of the moth distorts and diminishes the bat's sense of distance, making it incredibly hard for the bat to pinpoint its prey and increasing the moth's chance of escape.
How brilliant was that? My mouth was open the whole time, except the mosquito bit, because I got a bit scared. So that's how mosquitoes get off with each other. I loved that. That was Seb Masters from Hayward's Heath with part one of his documentary, Earth's Entomic Orchestra. We are going to dust off parts two and three from the archive and bring those to you over the next few weeks. I loved that. Crickets. Have you made a documentary or a feature? Do you fancy having it played on the radio? Send it to us. We'll have a listen and it could be featured on Upload. See bbc.co.uk/upload for more details.
Live and local.
Upload.
BBC Radio Sussex. BBC
Radio Sussex.
TLC and No Scrubs. A scrub is a guy that can get no love from me. It still doesn't make sense. It's TLC and No Scrubs. Our next upload this evening is a new one, and it's from Uckfield-based freelance writer Deborah Jenkins. This is a piece that Deborah describes as a tongue-in-cheek look at awkward encounters in a pandemic. It's called Social Distancing Moves, open bracket, British version, close bracket. Let's listen.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
That's Deborah Jenkins with her upload, Social Distancing Moves, open bracket, British version, close bracket. You can check out Deborah's blog at stillwonderinghere.net. So do you have a blog? Why not record your writing and send it to us? We could feature it here on the radio. Just use your phone to record a voice note and then head over to bbc.co.uk/upload and put it into our inbox. Do it. Maroon 5 and Memories. I wonder why they're called Maroon 5. Do you remember the other week that producer Ollie was trying to make me believe that, was it Cliffy Biro, Biffy Clyro, were named after Cliff Richard's Biro? I don't know why he says those things to me. The next track. So we're playing some Whitney, and we don't play enough Whitney on my show, and I'm going to insist we play Whitney every show because I love her so much. And we were talking about her auntie earlier. Well, no, it's her cousin. Dionne Warwick's her cousin. Can you imagine the fan? And Sissy Houston, her mother. Can you imagine the talent in that family? It's just extraordinary. Whitney Houston, it's not right, but it's okay. Oh, Whitney. I will love her forever. Let's take a look at the weather. So tomorrow, early morning sunshine will give way to a band of cloud and heavy persistent rain. This rain will clear to sunny spells in the late afternoon, and clear skies are likely overnight. The maximum temperature will be 14 degrees Celsius, that's 57 degrees Fahrenheit. And the outlook for the rest of the week: Wednesday will be a windy day with sunny spells and scattered showers drifting in from the English Channel. Some showers will be heavy and thundery in places. Thursday will see more persistent rain through the afternoon, and Friday will continue the unsettled trend with cloudy skies and outbreaks of rain, but temperatures will be rather mild for late October.
Phoebe Lynch, BBC Radio Sussex.
I really want to tell you about my date with Duncan from Blue. We'll do that after. Blue and All Rise. Have I told you this? So I wrote a feature for Eve magazine, and they wanted me to go out with a pop star then and a pop star from the recent past. And so I went out with Friendo Show, the gorgeous Nick Hayward. And I also went out with Duncan James from Blue, also gorgeous and also fabulous. But the end of the night, at one point I almost choked on a calamari, so Duncan had to kind of jump to the rescue and almost give me that Heimlich thing. And then at the end of the night, he asked for my phone number, and I was like, yeah, still got it. And he went, I'll give this to my mum because I think you'll really get on. So obviously I wrote far nicer things about Nick Hayward than I did about Duncan. That's not true. He's lovely. This is Upload, the show that features your creations here on the radio. Whatever you're doing and making, if you record it and upload it, we could be playing it. And that's what our next guest did. This is Laura Shoebottom. And Laura is a writer, actor and published poet who lives in Sutton. And she joins me now. Hi, Laura.
Hello, how are you?
I'm devastated about my Duncan James from Blues date. It's just all come flooding back.
Oh, no.
It was
a great story, though.
Oh, no, it got worse. At one point, I tried to casually pour him some water from the bottle, and the lid was on. You know, it's just like everything went wrong. And we ordered olives. And you know, you want those little kind of pitted, little sexy little black ones. And they gave me these big green olives that were the size of my thumb. And it was just, honestly, Laura, don't write anything about this. So how are you?
I promise.
How are you? You good?
I'm well, thank you. Yeah, very excited to be on tonight.
Oh, you're so, we love what you do and you send us. We've played some of your pieces. They're just so great. So
thank you.
Yeah, it's really lovely to meet you, but to speak to you. I really miss that. I really miss guests not coming in, but you know.
Oh, tell me about
Yeah, so how's it all affected you? What's going on?
It's definitely been a challenge. I've been very fortunate to be living and working with my partner, who has collaborated on several projects with me, so that's been fun.
Yeah.
And just been keeping busy, really, doing different projects here and there. I've been writing some children's theatre at the moment, and that's going to get a showcase in November, which I'm very excited about.
And is this the Tramshed stuff?
It is indeed.
So Tramshed's a big deal.
Yeah, it's I'm very happy that that's all come together. It's something I'm very passionate about as a writer. It's what first got me started, really, as an actor and writer, watching a piece of children's theatre. It was called Wild One, and Theatre Alibi produced it. And I've worked with Theatre Alibi since as a volunteer, and they're such a lovely company. But that's really what got me passionate about acting and writing in general.
Isn't that gorgeous? And how old were you when you saw that?
Oh, I think it was about 8 when I saw that.
Seriously, it affected you that much?
Yeah. They're a great company, and they're a lovely group of people. They really are.
That's so great. I love that. So you're doing so much. So you trained at Italia Conti?
I did, yes.
And you graduated with a first class honours degree?
I did, yeah. That was a lovely piece of news to end 4 years on, because I got in on a foundation course, and bless them, they haven't been able to get rid of me since. I went straight on to the BA from there, and it was a great 4 years. Very challenging, but definitely some fantastic training.
How often do you tell people that you've got a first class honours degree? Because I'd have, it wouldn't be a tattoo, but it would definitely be something written on my face.
I write it down if I'm applying for jobs.
You must. Absolutely must never stop doing that. I also love this as well, that you're doing some projects to raise money for Mind, the mental health charity.
Yes, I've been fortunate enough to work with Slam King's Cross. I've worked with them a couple of times in different showcases. I had a piece on with them at the Vaults in February, and one in June 2018, I believe, as well.
Can you explain what Slam King's Cross is?
Yeah, they are a new writing company, and they have produced showcases online and in theatres as well, raising money for different charities. They've done a lot of work for Mind. I think they've done, I think this is their third, the third showcase that I've heard of that they've raised money for Mind for. And this one in particular is an online showcase exploring mental health through the pandemic. So it's incredibly relevant for the times we're living in right now. But it's myself and 99 other writers all coming together, and we've each written minute pieces based on our experiences with mental health through the pandemic. And it's really great that we can raise money for Mind with that.
What a fantastic idea. And are all the pieces linked, apart from the mental health theme?
No, I believe they're separate.
Are you allowed to tell us a little bit about yours?
Mine is about intrusive thoughts and how that affects the main character during lockdown, and how they try and navigate their way through that and manage those feelings.
Oh, this is going to, I mean, it's unfortunately incredibly relevant, isn't it? That's the,
yes.
I mean, maybe if there's anything that's good out, that's come out of this, is that people are so much more aware.
Absolutely.
It must have taken away so much of the stigma, if not all.
Yes, definitely. I think that there's a lot of awareness that's been raised, particularly over the last year. And any help that these charities can have, these organisations can have, all the better. I am trying to support them as much as I possibly can.
Have you found the whole, so did you have to do, like, well, I guess we all did, but the kind of like lockdown proper, that almost feels forever ago. We're in tier one here.
I know.
Do you know what I mean? So I guess we're really lucky, but I know what's happening around the country is way less lucky. So it just feels a little bit like that real kind of intense moment has gone a little bit for us. But when that happened, were you still creating stuff then? I know with your partner, but did you find what you were creating was very different to what you'd created before?
I suppose so. I had phases where I felt incredibly creative and incredibly inspired, and then I had phases where the last thing I wanted to do was write or read a play or read a book or anything like that. And I think it was very important to accept that was what it was, and that was okay, and take the peaks with the troughs and just work through it, because it's such an extraordinary time that we're living through at the moment. And I think all you can do at the moment is take each day as it comes and know that that is okay.
Yeah. Where are you? Are you in? You're in Surrey, aren't you?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
So you tier two?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. It's it is a beautiful part of the country, and we're blessed with quite a lot of parks and green spaces. So it's nice to be able to just get out and have walks and just take in what's around you. It's definitely given me more of an appreciation for the outdoors and
isn't that the same?
Actually, nature in general.
Yeah, absolute same. And I'm right by the sea down here, and it's saved my freckly little brain. It really has. It's really kept me. This is me sane. This is me saved. Oh, it's just helped me so much. Tell us about Walls Have Ears. So that's the piece we're going to be playing. Tell us about that.
So Walls Have Ears was originally written for a monologue group that I became part of during lockdown that I'm still part of, called Message in a Bottle. And they are a lovely, lovely bunch of people. And every so often a theme comes out and you have to respond to that theme. And the particular theme was possession. And I wanted to go down a literal route with that, as in literal possessions. And the monologue came from there, really. It was kind of based on the idea that this couple had just moved into a new flat, and it was all high techy, and neither of them really understood it. And the further they went on, the less they wanted to understand it, and it kind of just made them realise that actually the material things aren't important. It's their relationship. And I think that is quite relevant, yeah, of the times we're living in right now, that it's the friends and family who are around you, you know, and just appreciating things like, you know, going out for a walk or taking care of yourself at home, you know, just making time for you and making time for the people who are with you as well.
What's the worst thing? What's the worst habit you've developed during all this?
That's a very good question.
It's a depressing question. I don't even know why I'd ask it. Are we drinking? Are we eating? I've put on a stone.
Oh, we're browsing. We're doing a lot of online browsing, shopping.
Are you shopping?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing you've bought? What's the thing you absolutely didn't need?
Well, I bought a lot of books, and I'd argue that I always need those.
Yeah, you can have those. You're allowed to have those.
You can never have too many books. I think I've got shares in Waterstones right now.
So tell us, before we play Wars Have Ears, oh, actually, let me ask your advice then. So I'm viewing some flats this week. Would you live or do you live in a flat that's got a kitchen in the front room?
No, I don't.
Would you?
Would I? Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just worried about smells.
Little kitchen diner area.
Yeah, sexy. We'll go with that. as long as there's room for the mini bar, we're fine.
And
Absolutely. We're cool. So we're going to play Walls Have Ears. But before we do that, what else have you got coming up then? So you've got Tram Shed.
Tram Shed, yes. And I'm also working on an audio drama at the moment, which is... quite a lot about my grandma, and it was inspired really by an opportunity that was posted on the Royal London Docks.
Yeah,
and I remember reading an article, and it was talking about all the different smells that used to come from all the different businesses, and it just made me think, smells are quite often linked with memories. And yeah, I always remember going to the fish and chip shop with my grandma on a Thursday afternoon after school, and I just thought, I'd like to write a play about that.
Oh, I love that.
So that's what I'm doing at the moment.
Oh, your stuff's so great. This is you please keep sending stuff in to us, and we and keep us posted on what you're up to.
Thank you.
So how can people find out more about you?
I am on Twitter at Laura Shoebottom, and the same on Instagram. And my website is laurashoebottom.co.uk.
Can I congratulate you on the best name ever?
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's definitely original.
You're very welcome. Laura, it's really lovely chatting to you. This is Laura Shoebottom and her piece, Walls Have Ears. Laura, see you really soon.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
Great night.
And you. Bye-bye. Bye. Oh, I love that. Laura's so great. Laura Shoebottom and Walls Have Ears. If you want to get involved with Upload, please do.
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
The Killers and Blowback. So it's time for our final upload this evening, and we're taking another look into our archive for this one. It's spoken word poetry and is written by Ash-based Kelvin Oberetti. And it is performed by an actress by the name of Christina Dembenizi. You ready?
Upload. Get yourself on the BBC. Go to bbc.co.uk/upload and upload your content now.
How beautiful was that? That was The Chase, written by Kelvin Oberetti and performed by Christina Dembenizi. You can find out more about Kelvin online, Instagram at KelzBaba, K-E-L-Z-B-A-B-A. And you can find Christina on Instagram at Christina Dembenizi. And that's spelt Christina with a C and Dembenizi, D-E-M-B-E-N-E-Z-I. If you want to get involved and get your stuff featured on here on the BBC, and I hope you do tonight, there have been such brilliant uploads and I hope you felt inspired by them. Check out bbc.co.uk/upload. How Long by Charlie Puth. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I've had such a good show. Thank you to James Morris. Thank you to Tony Finnemore. Thank you to Laura Shoebottom. Thank you for joining us and listening. Join me again next week on Monday, 8 to 10 p.m. Have a lovely week.